Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL podcast. I'm Connor Rohr. We've got Mitch Goldich here for what is undoubtedly my favorite day of the year, and that is relaying the results of me picking all 272 games on the NFL calendar. I have Mitch here because he is the editor that actually has to fact check the most ridiculous thing on our content calendar. I don't think it's even close. And also to do all of the tiebreakers. So I should ask you first, Mitch, how are you feeling about all of this?
I'm great. I love the NFL tiebreakers. This is me in my element. I wish I could just spend my entire year doing nothing but NFL tiebreakers. I think I'd be very good at basically Steve Kornacki. After one of the recent election cycles, they just started letting him do it on Sunday Night Football. He comes on the pregame show and the halftime show. I could do that job. Now, I love Steve Kornacki, and so I'm not coming for his job, and I'm not trying to say that he is bad at his job, but I think that's like a role for me that I could easily handle. Just put me on there talking about tiebreakers. Oh, I love it. But Connor, I have to ask you, is this really one of your favorite days of the year? Because that's a classic thing that you say now. Well, let's go behind the curtain. We are taping on Wednesday, and This will be revealed Thursday. I know you. You will be a ball of stress. You will be getting requests for radio shows in cities where you said their team is going to go 5-12. You're going to have fans yelling at you. I think you're going to be a little bit stressed tomorrow. So just try to remember right now this feeling of how happy you claim to be, and try to just keep that in mind tomorrow when people start slinging their arrows at you.
You're right, Mitch. I think that the day when, you know, all radio stations want to have you on to either praise your pick or be skeptical of your pick or fight your pick. I famously got into sort of a verbal fisticuffs with a Cincinnati radio host before the year that they went to the Super Bowl. I had them projected for 4 wins. And I think I said over and over on the air, find me more than 4 wins on that schedule. I think Joe Burrow did that. Then some. He got him. But since then, come full circle. And as
they
everybody
found 3 in the playoffs alone, I guess, right?
Which is why, if you're a loyal listener to the podcast, you know I became a Bengals fan. So it's all good. It all works
Yeah.
out.
Oh, we buried the lead. Connor, how was your first week as a Bengals fan?
It was great. Although, if anyone listened to the podcast last week, I was between the Bengals and the Ravens, right? And so my wife and I watched the Ravens Commanders preseason game where the streak was broken, and I got kind of emotional. I mean, you can read what I wrote about it, but I thought this was a very big thing, and I was very standing on the table-ish for John Harbaugh and the Ravens in that moment. But I had to get that out of the back of my head. They're division rivals, and just because I almost picked them doesn't mean that I can't root against them. And so full steam ahead. We're just waiting for news on Joe Burrow like everybody else, Mitch.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now everything we read of yours will be through the lens of, is he being a biased fan here, or is he being objective? And I don't know. We'll find out. At least now your biases are out in the open for all to know.
I think it's going to be a fun bit to just fully jump from, I just picked this team yesterday, to, where have you been? I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Bengals fan. I love Skyline Chili. Have you ever had Skyline Chili?
I have. I like Skyline Chili. I know it's controversial. I like it. I'm a supporter.
What's your workup? Do you do the whole thing?
I think so. I have not had it in a long time, so I couldn't tell you the details. But I well, let me try to remember. I think it's like five ways. All the stuff on it. It's possible that it has gotten more ridiculous since I've been there, and they're putting on like absolutely crazy numbers of toppings just for Instagram or whatever. But last I remember, it was the spaghetti, the chili, the cheese, the onions. There might have been a fifth one. I feel like I went there for the first time right before sort of it became a thing on the internet that people liked to complain about or argue about or say was disgusting or whatever. And so I don't know. There may have been changes in the years since. But whatever the classic, like, as of the year 2010 way is the way that I've had it with all the stuff available to me in that time.
Nice. I yacked in a Skyline bathroom once because I just couldn't. The mountains of cheese. I don't like cheese, but I had a friend order it for me. And so I think if I had to do it again, I would do the spaghetti, the chili, and the onions. And maybe that would be something I could – maybe that would be something I could stomach and walk away from. I'm not going to disparage Skyline chili because my roommate used to make a really good Skyline chili dip in college. So I think if I could bring that back somehow, I'm pro Skyline. There's nothing quite like it. Anyway.
No. Don't anyway me. I have more Skyline chili takes. Let me give you a pro
tip. This podcast is brought to you by Skyline, by the way.
I have been to a Skyline chili establishment, and I have had it there in the restaurant. I have been to one Cincinnati Reds game at, I think it was called Great American Ballpark at the time, and it has some other new stupid corporate name now, but I ordered it at the Reds game. And, you know, at the restaurant, it comes on a plate, and you're right, it's piled high with all that cheese. At the baseball game, it came in like a plastic Tupperware kind of situation with a lid, and they closed the lid so that you could walk with it to your seat. And that process of closing the lid, it got so hot in there that all of the cheese melted. And it was excellent that, because you're right, it's the cheese in the restaurant, it's like straight out of the bag, just like the, you know, cold shredded cheese where it's the little pieces. But in the Tupperware, melted all this hot, gooey cheese all over everything else, I thought was a great way to enjoy it. So I have no idea if it still comes like that. This could all be different. I think that was back in maybe 2007. So we're talking about a long time ago, me remembering this chili that I had. But loved it at the ballpark with the melted cheese.
It's still Great American Ballpark, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
So Great American is an insurance company. So it is a company name. However, it's just called the Great, like if you called it the Great American Ballpark, I feel like that's solid. That's going to go down a rabbit hole, but all right, I'm glad we landed there at Skyline Chili. Obviously, as big of a Bengals fan as I am, I'm going to need to learn to stomach that. I'm going to find the way that I like it. If anybody listens to this podcast and lives in Cincinnati and wants to tell me how to enjoy Skyline without cheese, please leave a rating and a review and your ideal Skyline markup, because then that way I can try to duplicate it when I'm out there trying to get some season tickets. And
hear from any Bengals fans this week?
I did. I got welcomed with open arms. I'm pretty excited about it. I do feel like this is the right time to get in. I feel like the Super Bowl year would have been a little rough. I committed not knowing the result of Joe Burrow's calf strain. I'm very brave. And with that, Mitch, let's get into the predict every game matrix. I'm sure you're sick of looking at this, but we're in a Google Excel sheet. And what I want to do is, I think I want to go division by division. I'm going to read the records, and then if you have anything that you want to immediately stop me with, I want you to just throw your hand up and say, whoa, 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 or we can just kind of assess the division as it is. Mitch, one final sort of behind the curtain, aggravating nail in Mitch's coffin. I did the write-up blurbs for every division, and I was so tired that at the end of the AFC, I just did the NFC West again instead of the AFC West. So I have two very different NFC West blurbs, which is the complete opposite of a solution for Mitch.
I'm surprised you came clean on this. Yes. To be clear, the records are the same, and these were done for the magazine. So you did these records a couple of months ago, and I don't know if you want to get into that also. But yes, you accidentally, not just... not just miss the AFC West. Writing two different blurbs for the NFC West is the part that I really love here. That you wrote blurbs about all of these teams, separate blurbs, all four teams, and then you forgot you had written them, and then the next day you just did it again and wrote completely separate original thoughts. Like, you're spitting it out like the Connor AI chatbot. Just give me 80 words about the 49ers. I will do that. Tomorrow, new 80 words about the 49ers.
This is your brain on kits, I will say. And if you ever, you know, if you ever have friends that start to have kids and then you're like, God, something's different about them, it's because like they're functioning at about 2-3% brain power. That said, I was in a good headspace when I made these picks. I did make them for the magazine. So we're talking about like late June. I noted in the blurbs where I would make a different prediction if I could, but I feel pretty good about it. Mitch, you love alphabetical order, so I'm going to start with the AFC East, which is probably my most controversial of all of them. You came to New England with me, which was fun. There is a reason behind that, because I'm picking the Patriots to win the AFC East at 10-7, Buffalo at 9-8, Miami at 8-9, the Jets at 8-9. This is going to be the one that I get all the hate mail about.
Yeah, it's I mean, this is a take you've already put out in the world, and now you're just doubling and tripling down on it. You had your 100 bold predictions, which we have you do every May, 100 days before the season starts. And in that one, your third one was the Patriots will win the AFC East.
That's right.
And
baby,
we saw a lot of comments on social media that said, started reading, saw this, exited immediately. And then you doubled down on it. You talked about teams that'll be surprises this year, talked about them again. So I feel like you've written this a few times now. And it's just very funny that we always put the AFC East first, and you had to start off with what you know will be your most popular take. So in your intro, you said, I know people are going to quit right away, but please hang in there with me. Honestly, I don't think we have to really discuss the New England part of it that much, because like I just said, we've talked about it this offseason. But I'm interested in the fact that you only have one AFC East team in the playoffs at all. And so obviously that means you've got the Bills missing the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Dolphins and Jets also. I mean, all four of these teams are very popular and trendy picks to get in. And there are people who think they're going to get three teams in, and or everybody except New England is a combination that we're seeing from a lot of people. So what's the thought process? I mean, to me, the big headline is Buffalo misses the playoffs entirely, not just loses to the Patriots. So talk me through the thought process on sort of the rest of the AFC East.
So I just don't think it's that out of the realm of possibility that the Bills throw up a stinker, right? I mean, they've had five really good seasons in a row, four really good seasons in a row. And my argument is, if you lose the Super Bowl, it's almost impossible to get back to the Super Bowl the next year. And we've seen teams struggle to even make the playoffs last year. My argument would be that what the Bills did last year was harder than making it to the Super Bowl and losing. They were expected to win the Super Bowl from the beginning of the season. They were wire-to-wire favorites. They played well, and then they had this cataclysmic event that just sapped their energy. This is a Bills team that the year before is coming off a controversial loss to Kansas City, where something they may have started questioning each other, questioning themselves, questioning what was going on. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that some degree of exhaustion just sets in there. And like, hey, Josh Allen just puts up a bad season. Like, the offensive line just has a hard time blocking. Maybe some of the old guys on their roster just get a little old. Maybe what they were going for just doesn't work. And I think that sometimes we need to put down our metrics and just consider the human element of this, which is like, hey, these guys might be tired. They might be exhausted. And that's that.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. I mean, I'm not going to pick the Bills to miss the playoffs, but you are correct that statistically it is likely they will miss it at some point. So I think people are spoiled. I mean, at some
over
point
the history
in the,
of humanity,
in the Josh Allen run specifically. So I think Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, just total freaks of nature, changed the way people think about things. Those guys were just in the hunt every single year. 11 wins, 12 wins, 14 wins sometimes, in the playoffs every single time. But if you look at other teams that have had great quarterbacks for long stretches, the Saints with Drew Brees had that run of three straight seasons where they went 7-9. And even the Packers, I'm now looking at there, they had a 7-9 season and a 6-9-1. And I know there are some seasons where Rodgers missed some time, but also like that happens. And so you can't look at a team like the Bills and just pencil them in as they're going to be a playoff team 15 years in a row. There will probably be a year somewhere where things break wrong and maybe it's a combination of somebody gets hurt or the division around them just happens to be really good or something fluky happens, tough schedule, whatever. So you're right that it is likely it will happen at some point. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger had years out of the playoffs. I feel like, again, Brady and Manning just sort of busted the curve. And then you look at Patrick Mahomes and you think he's going to be one of those guys. And you can't imagine a season where a healthy Patrick Mahomes is not in the playoffs, even though it could happen for those guys. And I mean, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, like these are all-time great quarterbacks. Josh Allen and Burrow, you know, they'd be thrilled to have careers like those guys had. And those guys had seasons where their teams missed the playoffs. So you're right that it's not outside the realm of possibility that their careers will be littered with a couple of seasons here and there like that. But it's just very bold to go out on that limb and say before the season Josh Allen is healthy and the Bills team is really good and this is going to be one of those seasons for them. It's just a bold leap to say that.
It's an especially bold, I won't get this granular with every schedule, but I do think that there's a chance, a pretty good chance, that they go into the Sunday game against the Jacksonville Jaguars on October 8th undefeated, right? So you have the Jets, you're opening at Jets. Statistically, they've been sort of, as a franchise, and again, that's hard to put on Robert Saleh when he hasn't played a Rex Ryan kind of game, but you know, you go back to the beginning of the middle of that Rex Ryan era where the team was already excellent and you start the season without Darrell Revis on Monday Night Football, and I think they won that game. But you know, you have this big Monday Night Football opener with the Jets and the Bills. I think that's a game the Bills win. You have the Raiders, who I don't think are going to be very good. You go to the Commanders, who I don't think are going to be very good. And then you go to the Dolphins, who, again, I think are going to tie for last place in the division or be at the bottom of that division. So I think this pick is going to look rough for a little while. And then it's going to even out because at the end of the year, starting in week 5, this schedule gets tough, right? You have Jacksonville, so you have Trevor Lawrence, you have the Giants, you have the Patriots, you have week 9 at the Bengals, you have week 12 at the Eagles. Right after your bye week, you go to Kansas City, right? So normally you're hoping after the bye to reestablish that sense of downhill momentum, and then you go and face Andy Reid in a really tough place to play a game with a lot of history, then the Cowboys, then at the Chargers, cross-country trip, then the Patriots. So I think the end of this schedule is brutal. And now let's circle back for a second. I do think I have them mounting a little bit of a comeback at that point in the schedule when I did project those games and sort of a last minute flailing attempt there. So I do think they're going to do okay, but I do think that the gravity of all of those matchups back to back, plus maybe they have a hiccup, one or two of these at the beginning of the year, and all of a sudden you have just a fluky Bills season, and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, you know, you are the Oracle. Other people are looking at the Bills schedule and they're seeing the list of who they're playing and where the game is. You're factoring in, I mean, massive snowstorm in Buffalo. Some of these games are going to be played in Detroit or Atlanta, or who knows where these games are going to be. You're the only one who's looking into the future and seeing things at that level. So
that's,
you know,
that's right.
At some point, we just have to give it up to you and just trust that you know things.
That's right. Damn it. Miami and the Jets, listen, I mean, I've said my piece on Miami. I think they're a good team. I think they're very injury prone. Your two best players, your two most important players, are linear speed sprinters. We saw Tyreek Hill sort of break down a little bit at the end of the season last year and couldn't do as much of what he was doing at the beginning of the year. It's a hard offense to sustain throughout the course of a season, I think. And so, you know, and Tua Tagovailoa, yeah, he had some great games. Will that continue? I have no idea. The Jets too, this one's tough. I think that they could show progress and still be 8-9. But no one's going to be excited about that. There's a lot of personalities to bake in here, man. This is a tough season. Like, you're adding in, I listed them in a column I did for Dalvin Cook when Dalvin Cook was signed. But, you know, a lot of these teams have two of these like veteran locker room guys. The Jets now have like 11. And as a coach, it's just all these different egos that you have to pacify, all these different conditions that you have to make. I mean, if they get rowing in the right direction and Rodgers is great, I noted that in the blurbs, this team could go 15-2. But if it struggles to get off the ground, I think that, you know, if they lose that first game against Buffalo, I think it casts a little bit of a pall on the end of the season. Let's bounce into the best part of this, Mitch, which is the AFC North. Obviously, the first place Cincinnati Bengals going to win this division at 13-4.
You're a biased fan. I think we can just skip right over the AFC North.
Baltimore at 11-6, Pittsburgh 9-8, Cleveland 8-9. My only kind of kick myself moment there after seeing Kenny Pickett in the preseason, and I knew this, and I wrote about this. I heard a lot of great things about Kenny Pickett this offseason. I really liked the way he looked. I could flip Baltimore and Pittsburgh. I could see Pittsburgh going 11-6 and Baltimore going 9-8. I'd be okay with either of those. And listen, Cleveland, ultimate bet hedge there. I have them finishing last place at 8-9. There was a moment in the preseason where Deshaun Watson was running a lot. I think that might be something he leans on this year because it doesn't seem like he's jibing with the offense as it's designed. I mean, if he takes off and he uses his legs with reckless abandon, this team could be 13-4. You know, they could win the division by a mile. Jim Schwartz is really good at his job. So that's a tough division to project, but, you know, as a dyed-in-the-wool Bengals fan, I really can't go back on my Bengals.
All right, let's move on to the AFC South, because this is another interesting one, because we the listeners can't take another two-hour podcast. We can't spend as much time on every division as we did on the AFC East. So let's move things along a little bit. But AFC South is another one where you are against the trend a bit. So I want you, if you want to read through your team records and then defend your division champion here.
Okay, Tennessee in first place at 10-7, Jacksonville in second place at 10-7, Indianapolis in third place at 8-9, Houston 5-12. My one major regret there is I wish I knocked Houston down a couple more wins, maybe make them like a 3-win team, which is going to be an absolute banner trade for the Arizona Cardinals, who could end up with the first two picks in the draft. Tennessee at 10-7. Here it is, Mitch. They signed DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't think that makes them good, but I think Mike Vrabel thinks they're going to be good. And if Mike Vrabel thinks this team is going to be good, I have no reason to doubt him. I think he's a top five coach in the NFL. I think they can, you know, it's like the end of True Detective. Woody Harrelson is old. He's broken down, but they still get the Yellow King. Derrick Henry's coming back for one more run. Ryan Tannehill back for one more run. Love the Titans.
So what's interesting here, you have them 10-7, but you have them starting 1-3 and mm-hmm. then 2-4 heading into the bye week.
That's right.
You envision this Tennessee team, because there was talk in the offseason about should they trade Tannehill to the Falcons or to wherever else? Should they trade Derrick Henry while he still has some value? Should they sort of tear it down and rebuild? You think they can turn around and win the division, even if they start the season 1-3, 2-4 into the bye? You think they hold on to their guys, make a run at it, go for it? You don't think this is a team that if they start slow, the wheels could totally fall off the season?
No way. Even with the mounting pressure of having two pretty good backup quarterbacks. I mean, Malik Willis has looked good in the preseason. I think they ride it through with Tannehill. I'm all in. I mean, Tennessee was another finalist for Connor Orr's future favorite team, but mm-hmm. that was largely a Mike Vrabel pick. So that's what I'm going for. I think Jacksonville is good, but how many times, Mitch, have we gone through a preseason where it's like, oh, this is the trendy team. This is the team. If you pick against them, you're an idiot. You don't know football. How many times did people say that about the Chargers? Every year. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are the new Chargers. I think they're going to be good. They're going to be fine. There's going to be nothing wrong with this team. I have them making that they do sneak into the playoffs, correct?
Yes, you do.
At 10-7,
as the sixth seed, as the second wild card.
So they're going to get in. Relax. Maybe they mount a Super Bowl run, everybody. But I didn't get that far yet. Leave me alone. But yeah. So I don't know. That's my take on this. I think the Colts will be a very good 8-9. Very fun to watch 8-9.
I like Jacksonville a lot. As long time. I don't know how loyal the listeners of your show are to the old gambling episodes we used to do, but I was on before the Super Bowl with Gary Gramling and Jimmy Trina. And Connor, you should know I'm tied up in Jaguars making it to the Super Bowl. I placed that that wager even before Super Bowl 57. I was in on Super Bowl 58, and it would be nice for me if the Jaguars go on a little run. I believe in them quite a bit. I like them a lot this year.
Okay. AFC West, pretty boring. Chiefs at 11-6, Chargers at 10-7, Vegas at 7-10. Denver at 6-11. I don't think anybody who watched the Broncos in the preseason is going to argue with me on that one. Turns out it's not just the head coach's problem. The Chargers, Mitch, you helped edit a piece that I did on the receivers for Sports Illustrated this week. I'm higher on the Chargers probably than I've been in quite some time, and I think this is a good season for them now that everybody has sort of given up on them as the hype team of the offseason. They have a massive starting lineup of wide receivers, guys that are 6'8", 6'4", 6'4", 6'3", 6'1". I think they're going to cause a lot of matchup problems, and I think that Kellen Moore, the new offensive coordinator, is going to unleash Justin Herbert. And unleashing quotes, this guy did throw for 5,000 yards with Joe Lombardi, but I think he's going to hit areas of the field that we've never seen him throw to before. I think he's going to be a little bit more of a high wire act. It's going to be a fun season.
Yeah, man, the AFC is just so deep. And that's so deep. Not an original take, but when you try and pick your seven playoff teams, and we'll have our season preview predictions on the site the week, a couple days before the season kicks off. Man, I am having a hard enough time figuring out my seven, and I'm just leaving out a couple teams that I really want to have in. And looking at your field, I mean, you've got the Patriots and Titans in, and those are teams a lot of people are leaving out. So you've just got a lot of good teams that there's just no room for in this field. You know, Buffalo, obviously we talked about, but Miami, the Jets, Pittsburgh, maybe Cleveland. It's just, man, it's so crowded. It's going to be, I mean, I'm not saying let's fast forward to the AFC playoffs already, but it's going to be incredible watching some of these great teams go at it. Man, I'm ready. I'm ready for football, Connor. This is going to be fun.
if none of these hit, I'm going to get annihilated.
Yes.
By the way, like absolutely positively annihilated. And I'm really going to have to go back to the drawing board and adjust the algorithm.
Well, your NFC picks are a little more chalky.
They're a little bit more. Chalky.
There are some interesting things, and I think that makes sense. The NFC is a little more top heavy. I think anyone picking, you know, anyone making NFC picks who doesn't have the Niners, the Eagles, the Cowboys in the playoffs. I mean, that would be. I think that you'd get skewered for that a lot more if you were just like, yeah, the Niners aren't going to make the playoffs. Like that would be ridiculous. So the NFC picks, you still have some surprises in there, but definitely a little more chalky. Nothing that stands out as too nuts to me.
The a quick story before we go to the to the NFC. So one year, I hope you guys read Ray Ratto, who now writes for Defector. He's legendary sports writer, really great, funny guy. Has a show, talk show in the Bay Area for a long time, and I was on his radio show after one season after my predictions came out, and he just goes, I'm going to ask the question that everybody's thinking. Who are you? Why is this a thing? And like, I can't imagine you actually have a process. And if so, can you please explain it to me? And so he cut through the morass there. But I do have a process. And I'm just saying, if none of these picks hit, it's going to be a very back to the drawing board kind of off season at Oracle headquarters. Some heads are going
to
roll.
What you don't want is you don't want your Super Bowl picks to both miss the playoffs, and you don't want the actual Super Bowl to be two teams you had missing the playoffs. And so the Bills are a risk for you on that front, because let's see, again, there's no really popular NFC team you left out. Let's say, for example, you left out the Niners, which obviously you didn't. And then you have the Bills and Niners both missing the playoffs, and then they face each other in the Super Bowl. That's like a memorable headline thing, because people have bad picks. You can say, oh, remember that guy had that bad pick. That you don't want, like, oh, Connor Orr. Oh, yeah, he's that guy who had the Bills and Niners both missing the playoffs the year they went to the Super Bowl. You don't want to give them a headline. And I don't know that you have anything like that in the NFC.
Yeah. I just have this in the back of my mind, this constant perpetual fear of, remember being in the media area after the Patriots won the Super Bowl and Kyle Van Noy saying, not one person in the media believed in us. And I'm sitting there like, I did. Like, you know, and it's one of those things where this is Kyle's moment. I'm not going to take away from it, but I believed in you. I went to camp that year. I wrote you guys were going to be good. And so I'm very sensitive to that because people lump in all the media, but it's not all one person, guys. We're different. We have different processes. And some of us think the Patriots are going to win the AFC East.
And some think the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. What a transition here.
All right. Yeah. Cowboys at 11-6, Philadelphia at 10-7, the Giants at 9-8, and the Commanders at 6-11. I feel great about this. Which again, I mean, clip this for posterity's sake. After this goes completely haywire, and Josh Harris and his fake handshake win the division in his first season as a Commander's owner. But I like this top to bottom. The Eagles are either going to be like 15-2, or I think they're just going to regress a little bit. I just still think it's hard to lose both of your coordinators and sustain something. Jalen Hurts is a quarterback. I think that needs that good coordinator, that needs that good support system. And Brian Johnson could be excellent. I think might be excellent, probably will be excellent, but we just don't know yet. So a lot of question marks there, I think.
And it's also, this is the weirdo division where no team has repeated as division champ since, I think, 2004. It's just every single year it's somebody new. So that was going to answer my question. I mean, listen, 11-6, 10-7, those are good records, and both playoff teams here. I was going to ask you to make the case why Dallas over Philadelphia. Do you think Dallas is a better team than Philly, or is some of this actually schedule-related from when you go through your process and look at all the games?
I think Dallas is getting back to probably what makes Dak Prescott good. I think that he may have tried to do too much towards the end of the Kellen Moore era. And I think we're going to see kind of a little bit of a swapping of bodies in terms of Justin Herbert and that offense now and Dak Prescott and something that's a little more conservative. But I just think that they have all the tenets, Dallas, of a Super Bowl team, right? They have an elite pass rusher. They have an elite shutdown cornerback. They have a good offensive line. They have a good running game. They can command all of the aspects of a game that you would need to. It's going to be about injuries. I think they have a very deep, experienced veteran coaching staff, you know, and we'll see. But, you know, it's one of those things where if you had to bet on it, you'd bet on a bunch of guys who've been there before in terms of coaches. You'd bet on those sort of core positions and having elite players there. And you bet on Prescott rebounding a little bit. And then what? The only other note I'm going to make there on the NFC East is Giants at 9-8. I hear you, Giants fans. I know that team got better in the offseason, but their schedule is god-awful. It is god-awful, and I think that 9-8 represents, like, that's an 11-win season under normal circumstances. Can we agree that that schedule is awful?
I don't have it in front of me because so again, well, I love letting people behind the curtain. I'm looking at your Google sheet, which just has like week 1, 2, all the way to 18. It's just like WWLLL. So I actually don't have their opponents in front of me.
So I have it up. So you're going to start the season on September 10th, Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys. That's a tough one.
Every year, Cowboys, yep. Giants, Sunday Night Football. What is this?
Then your easy game is short rest across the country to Arizona, okay? And then I'm assuming they'll stay out there because then again, short rest, Thursday Night Football, San Francisco, and then you host the Seahawks, then a two-game road trip against the AFC East in Miami and Buffalo. Your next winnable game isn't until October 22nd against the Commanders. This is brutal, brutal. And then after the Commanders game, you have the Snoopy Bowl showdown against the Jets. Then again, travel cross country to Vegas, travel to Dallas, travel to Washington before a home game against the New England Patriots the couple days after Thanksgiving, right before your bye. And then after the bye, Green Bay, to New Orleans, to Philadelphia, versus Los Angeles, versus Philadelphia. Philadelphia twice in 3 weeks to end the season, one of them on Christmas. Poor Brian Daboll. That team got absolutely steamrolled by the scheduling committee this year. Brutal.
We shall see. You have them winning some of those games that you're saying are tough. People, I will say, we're sort of talking through it all. I hope people still go to the website and check it out, because I think it is interesting looking at all the teams game by game, and I think your blurbs add more context. So especially the people who are ready to, call you an idiot. I think it's worth going to the site. I hope people still come to the site and read it. It's also, we say, it's one of your favorites and most fun projects for you to work on all year. It is often one of our biggest traffic gainers of the year also. This is a popular piece on the website, so I'm hoping people check it out.
Yeah, you should check it out. The NFC North, this one I hated because the Lions are another Chargers trendy pitfall team, but I have them winning the division at 11-6, Green Bay 10-7, Chicago 7-10, Minnesota 7-10. Vikings fans, you're going to regress. Accept it. You were a very lucky, fortunate team last year, and you still haven't paid Justin Jefferson. You need to get those good vibes going into the season. You haven't done it yet. I don't know how you feel about the Lions winning the division. I think if I had to do it again, I'd have the Packers winning the division. Jordan Love's looked pretty spectacular in the preseason, in my mind. But Jared Goff is sort of the class of this division. Ben Johnson is going to be an NFL head coach next year, and away we go.
Yeah, I feel similarly. This is tough. So, and I have not finished my predictions. I will probably have the Lions winning the division, but this is one where I think it would be fun to have a contrarian take. I think the NFC North and NFC South are the two toughest to pick a champion for me. And I'm probably just going to end up going with the Lions. Just so many question marks with, Jordan Love. I mean, you know, we just don't know how good he's going to be. And even like Minnesota's interesting. I think it would be fun to be the anti-regression guy and just be like, actually, Minnesota, I know they're going to regress in the one-score games. They can't go undefeated in those again this year, but they still have some good players, and I think they could be better than people think they are, but I don't know if I want to be the guy who stands on that take. So I don't know. I'll probably go with the Lions. This all looks very defensible to me. And I will say, we've been talking about the champions and the records, but your wild card teams, you do have the Packers in the playoffs. You have, I don't want to spoil it. You have an NFC West team, and then you have the Packers and Eagles as your wild cards.
Boy, Jordan Love in the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers not in the playoffs. I promise, guys, that was not a, I'm going by the data. I'm going by the process. Okay. This is not, I'm not hard knocks here. I'm not trying to drum up storylines.
And you've got the Lions as the 3 seed and the Packers as the 6 seed. So there's a chance to settle this on the field. They're gonna play 17 games, and someone will be the regular season division champ. But then they're gonna play to move on. So I like how you've set that up.
Let's go. All right. NFC South, probably my favorite one in terms of this came out exactly the way that I wanted it to. Atlanta wins the division at 8-9, New Orleans 7-10, Carolina 7-10, Tampa Bay 2-15, despite that very gothic, electric Baker Mayfield starting quarterback graphic the team tweeted out yesterday. I don't see it. What say you, Mitch?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I want to hear.
Do you think any team, like, can you confidently say one of these teams will finish with a winning record?
No. I just said the NFC North is a tough one because I want to pick someone other than Detroit, but I think I'll end up picking Detroit. This is the toughest one. I mean, I could talk myself into New Orleans. I think I'm torn between New Orleans and Atlanta. Carolina, they have pieces I like, but I just don't know that I'm going to pick, rookie quarterback to win the division. Right. Tampa, I have Tampa in fourth also, but I have sort of over the course of the summer have talked myself into all three of those other teams being division champs.
Yeah.
And I like having them all within a game of each other and having an under 500 division winner. I think you handled this well, I'd say.
Yeah. I can't pick against Bijan, Art. I think this is a good team, but it's realistic expectations, right? I think they're going to be okay. But, and they'll get in the playoffs and maybe they'll cause a little bit of a problem. But I think they're still a year away from realizing some of the potential that we thought.
You know what
New
else?
Orleans
is,
to me.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, you know what else is going to happen? And now you did not predict any ties. There are 272 games. There's going to be a tie. I don't blame you for not predicting a tie. That's a risky thing. That feels like my corner. Like, I could write a story before the season of just which game is most likely to be a tie. And I think that would actually be very fun. I feel confident. Clip this one. There's going to be a tie in the NFC South, in an NFC South division game. And it might be between those teams. It might involve the Bucks. But you can just imagine it's week 14, and these teams are like, two of them are 6-7-1, and one of them's 7-7, and they're all just so muddled, and it's gross, and it's ugly, and we're just like, oh my god, like, who's going to come out of this division? And then, and you've got Atlanta as a division champ at 8-9, but maybe it's 8-8-1, maybe it's maybe it's like 7-9-1 wins a division. There's going to be a tie in the NFC South. This division is too gross. Looking at the what the final records are going to be, it just feels appropriate.
Why not New Orleans Saints fans, after I kind of trashed your city on the podcast last week? I'm probably not going to feel the love from that region of the country anytime soon. I think you're a little old, a little long in the teeth on defense, which could be a good thing. Could be a very good thing. Look at what the Eagles did last year with guys like Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, all their veteran guys staying healthy. But I think it's just too dependent on a lot of guys staying healthy. And Derek Carr just doesn't move the needle for me. I like Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr's really good. I just don't know if it drastically changes the outcome of that division. I think colleague Albert Breer, I think he disagrees with me. I want to say he had the Saints winning the division, but you know, the Saints have a lot of high profile Ohio State players, so he's not here. I can say that. NFC West to close it out, 13-4. For the San Francisco 49ers, my eventual Super Bowl losers to the Cincinnati Bengals. Seattle Seahawks at 11-6. Surprise LA Rams at 9-8, who I tried and failed to get into the playoffs as a back-end wild card team. And your number one pick in the 2023 NFL draft.
Say it right.
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, you didn't say it right.
The era Fona Cardinals, the triple F. Arizona Cardinals at 1-16. If that was a market where anybody actually cared about the Cardinals, except for like the one time they had a decent year with Kyler Murray, I could see that 1-16 thing being banged around a little bit as like a rallying cry, but no one cares about the Cardinals.
They've had other seasons. They, you know, had a Super Bowl with Kurt
Warner.
They
have other good seasons, but I did not hear from anybody.
Okay, gotcha. The Carson Palmer teams, they had a good run where Cardinals Seahawks was a fun little thing. But anyway,
yeah. But the Cliff Kingsbury year where the Cardinals fans are like, we did it, we're here. Me and former editor Gary Grambling, we were here on this podcast. We were telling you guys, calm down. It's not going to go well. This isn't going to work. Lo and behold, you're still paying your coach and your GM for like another 3 or 4 years that you thought were going to be under contract until the end of the next presidential administration. So just keep that in mind. That's all I ask.
So NFC playoff picture. So you've got Niners, Cowboys, Lions, Falcons as division winners, Seahawks, Packers, Eagles. This is very different from the AFC, where I'm not looking at this list like, oh my God, I can't believe you left this team out, or, oh, it must have been tough to leave them out. But any, you know, no regrets. I mean, some of the closest misses are the Giants at 9-8, the Rams at 9-8, and then you get into really teams. Yeah, I guess, you know, some of these teams that are, you've got like 7-10, Chicago, Minnesota, New Orleans, Carolina. Again, like I said before we got into this conference, this feels very defensible, a little more chalky, some surprises, but this makes sense to me.
Yeah. My major regret is the Rams. That's the one where I'm like, you know, I think they're going to be good this year.
But who would you have them in over? You're not going to leave out the Seahawks, or you've got the Packers at the sixth seed and the Eagles. Now here's where we talk about the tiebreakers. You have the Packers and Eagles both at 10-7. And so I had to go to conference record. And so I have to look up every little stupid. You have the, I don't know if you know this, this may be news to you. You have the Eagles going 5-0 against the AFC. They play against the AFC East and also the Chiefs before Thanksgiving. You have them going 5-0 in the AFC games, meaning they have a lower conference record than Green Bay. So the Packers get the 6th seed, Eagles get the 7th seed. But are you really thinking, let me put the Rams in the playoffs over the Eagles? I mean, obviously you didn't, but do you regret that?
Seahawks would have been my, if I had to do it again, mm-hmm. I think a little bit of a
just regression. Just fudge the numbers. Seahawks. Just give the Seahawks some losses to knock them out.
This is a perfect vehicle, though, for hedging all my bets, because what I've successfully done here is I've put predictions on the board, but I've also, with your help, taped a supplemental podcast that second guesses all these decisions, so I can point to, they're like, oh, what about that Titans pick, Connor, or what about that Patriots pick, Connor, and be like, well, you know, if you listen to the podcast, I did say that the Jets could win 15 games here, so
you're like,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, the old SNL clip where they're like pre-taping obituary messages on the local news. You're just going to tape a clip. I think the Jets will go 15-2. I think the Titans will go 15. Just tape it for all 32 teams so that we can put it on Instagram with like a little graphic at the top with the date, and it's Connor in August, and you just pick every team to win the Super Bowl, pick every team to have a historic outlier year. Just, you know, that's a good move for you.
What was Gerald Ford died today.
Yeah, mauled by a circus lion in a convenience store. Yeah, classic.
Oh, man. Mitch, well, thank you so much not only for coming on with me, but for editing this, for putting in all the love and appreciation that you do, and for allowing yourself to be even remotely associated with what will be just a bundle of hate mail. So
it's a fun time of year. Hate mail comes for us all. You more than me, because you put yourself out there. And but, you know, I listen, I have some stuff coming up. Can I share? It's an exciting time. I'm starting to think about my 8th annual Week 18 Sunday Night Football Flex Power Rankings, Connor. We've all got our annual favorites are coming up. I will, once again, my backward season preview, where I will look at the 18th week of the season and try to guess which game will be flexed to Sunday Night Football. I cannot retire this bit until I'm right one time. I have never been right. There have been years where I haven't been close, but I'm thinking about changing my strategy, so... So we'll see. So there's lots on the website for people to look forward to from all of us.
Oh, yes. Very exciting. Be on the lookout. Follow Mitch on Twitter. We'll link that in the show notes. And all right, buddy, let's get back to work. We got a lot. We got a lot happening here.
All right. Always fun, Connor. Thanks for having me on.
The MMQB NFL podcast is produced by Shelby Royston. Mark Mravick is the emeritus editor of the MMQB, Super Bowl champion Andy Benoit, and Rec League Basketball three-point assassin Gary Gramling are the founders of the MMQB NFL podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts. And once you do, leave a rating and review, because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.